of the tardy Laura Hine. Yeah, put on the name.
Could we have roll call, please?
Bill Goggins.
Here.
John Kepler.
Here.
Kathleen McMonagle. Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Welber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here.
Laura Hine.
Okay. Have the reading and or approval of minutes. Chair would entertain a motion to dispense with the reading.
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor of dispensing with the meeting, reading of the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. Does anybody have any additions or corrections or comments on the minutes?
I have a comment.
Okay.
I would like to thank our secretary for using our names in the minutes so that we know in future who asks what questions and what answers were given by who.
Okay. Any other additions, corrections?
Just some typos. I don't know if that matters.
Yeah, why not? Let's...
Okay, one, two, three, four. Sixth paragraph, last paragraph on page one, council members, has a C in it.
Okay.
Extra C in it.
Yep, council members.
Yeah, council members. And on the second page under hearings, 6A and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down, the letters in your and Rick Whitney's name are transposed.
Whitney.
Whitney, yeah. And then that sentence was just awkward. I think I would reword it, right? So it would say something like, open the public hearing and ask the audience if there were any public comments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I had time to notice at this point.
Any other additions or corrections?
There's two adjournments. There's two number nines.
Okay, strike one of the adjournments. Any others? Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes with those corrections, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved.
Rick, I'd like to make a little suggestion.
Yes.
There was no meeting in April or May, and maybe council members would like to put a note on the top of this, so if you ever have to go back and look, you'll wonder why. Why you don't have minutes for those 2 months.
Well?
Maybe that'll be in tonight's minutes.
Let's put that in tonight's minutes.
All right.
Okay. Actually, that's a very good idea.
Yeah, it is, so we don't think, oops, what happened to the minutes for that meeting?
Yeah.
Hard to find them if you can't, you know.
In case you were using that as an alibi.
Yeah, right.
It's at the Houghton Community Council. I just can't find the minutes.
Okay. So, agenda for tonight is, actually there's an item that we normally have, which isn't here, and that's, you know, member comments, and so I'll add that to the agenda. Then requests from the audience, limited to 3 minutes. Unfinished business, approval of the zoning code amendments related to the reorganization of design regs, and under new business, floor area ratio information. So that's our agenda. Oh, is there anything else?
Do we need to read into the record that Laura Hine is now here?
Well, I was going to welcome Laura since this is our first official meeting under council member comments. So.
Ah.
Yes.
I have an addition to the agenda.
Oh, okay.
The work program agenda item, we normally have a work program agenda item, and that was not included either.
Oh, so you're going to add something to our work program, huh?
I actually have something to report.
Oh, okay. We'll add that to the agenda.
Okay, and then there are some administrative items for the end.
Okay. And administrative items. Okay. Very good. So, council member comments. And I would open up by saying welcome to Laura for her first official meeting, other than our training session, which we held last week, which I think went real well. So, welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
We'll get it. Now that you're here, we are going to order you a nameplate. We want to make sure you're showing up.
I'm really showing up. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late tonight.
That's okay. Anybody else have any comments, questions? Yes, John.
I have one. Recently, I have participated in and successfully completed, I might add, the CERT training program that the Kirkland Fire Department has put on. This is a program as part of the FEMA and Homeland Security procedures that is training citizens, normal people like myself, like all of us, to be involved in an emergency response team. So it's Citizens Emergency Response Team, which is an acronym for CERT. I think that this is something that very good for any community member. It's a community by community basis, helping communities be prepared and having sort of responders in communities in the event of a very tragic event that the 911 sort of dispatch won't be able to get people to. I'd like to personally thank Robin Pastor from the Kirkland Fire Department, who headed that up and put that on. She did a fantastic job, as well as the people from the Kirkland Fire Department that taught the class. They did a stupendous job.
Excellent. And training was involved?
It was an 8-week class with a test, pretty minuscule test nonetheless, and then a it was like a half-day practice event. People came in, and we did some search and rescues and some wow. real event procedure. It was I think from a preparation standpoint, really, really good for personal preparedness, for understanding how to help in your community should the fire department, the police, and the emergency services not be able to come in an event where we're out for weeks upon end. And I would recommend it for anybody. Right. Yeah, if nothing else, to make sure your family's kind of in order.
Mm-hmm. How often is it offered?
I was the 7th class that has gone through, part of the 7th class, not just me alone. It was part of the 7th class that went through in the city of Kirkland. And I imagine within a 6-month period. Do you know, Nancy?
I don't.
Yeah, probably something like that. I know the 8th class is starting up soon. If you'd like more information about it, just contact the city main desk or the Kirkland Fire Department. Either will get you there. But
great.
Very, very worthwhile. And they did it. I was very, very impressed by their teaching. And your firemen and fire ladies. I mean, and they great teachers. Did a great job.
Excellent.
Great job.
I'm glad you're a close neighbor to me now. I'm feeling a little more secure.
And they're, oddly enough, neighbor on the other side of you. I looked on the little map. They took a class mm-hmm. previous to mine. So in our particular neighborhood, Rick, we've got two.
Cool.
Well represented. Yep. Thank you.
Any other comments? How's preparation for the big parade coming?
I think we need another work party. But first work party went pretty well, and I can't tell you exactly
what things came. We don't want to disclose secrets to the other neighborhoods.
I definitely there's more work that needs to be had, so if anybody wants...
Let us know when the work party is.
Yeah. All right. Next, I know that there's one on Monday, the Monday before the 4th. At 4 o'clock, was it, Laura?
I think
2 o'clock? 4
next
o'clock?
Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Monday. Correct,
a week from tonight.
Very scary. And there's a lot to be done before then.
So a week from tonight, or 4 o'clock, a week from today, work party.
Work party.
At your place?
No, it's at Lisa McConnell's, and she's on 106th.
I put down 2-8.
2-8.
I just... blocked that time, and maybe that was just...
Well, I think it may be two, and I was thinking, am I going to be able to get off work early? I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway,
well, let's,
I can let
you
know.
How many people are going, because if we have more than three, then we have to notice it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We could do it in shifts.
Yeah, that's true.
If the third person shows up, somebody has to leave.
Okay.
All right, that's a deal. All right. Any other questions, comments? Okay. We have an opportunity for the audience to make any public comments if they're so inclined. Would anyone like to address any topic?
We're just listening.
Okay. So that will go to the zoning code amendments.
Nancy.
The work program? Did you want to insert the work program item?
Oh, do you want to put that ahead? Do you want to put it next?
Normally it is in the agenda. That's the only reason I said that.
Okay,
it's
let's
just
have
a couple
it.
Announcements.
Sure.
The first is that there
the city's working through the private amendment request process for the comprehensive plan update, for the next comprehensive plan update. So we have a number of private amendment requests, and Paul asked that I let you know that there is one in the Lakeview neighborhood in your jurisdiction, and it's at the plaza at Yarrow Bay, and the this is a legislative item, so we can talk about it. Okay. And that is to a request in the offices complex to widen the mix of uses that are allowed there, and that would require a comprehensive plan change. I don't know a lot of details, but I'm just telling you enough to probably pique your interest.
Okay.
But not adult.
not that wide, yeah. the Planning Commission is talking about the private amendment requests on the 28th, which is this week, Thursday night. And the City Council, so on Thursday night, the Planning Commission is making a threshold decision whether or not to recommend to City Council that they be included. And the City Council is looking at the issue on July 17th and will be making a decision there. The staff recommendation on that particular item is that it be held over to be part of the neighborhood plan review. So that's thing one, is a private amendment request in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Thing two is regarding the neighborhood plans. Also on July 17th, the City Council will be looking at the work program as a whole for the Planning Department. And one of the questions, as Paul has mentioned to you in the past, has been Lakeview and the Houghton neighborhood plans, what order would they be in and when would they occur? And at this point, the staff recommendation is that the Lakeview neighborhood plan be taken first. And the reasons for that are, one, because of the private amendment request that I just mentioned, and also because we're updating the Shoreline Master Program, that project Patrice Tovar is working on, and because the Lakeview neighborhood plan, of course, encompasses the shoreline, it makes most sense to do that one first at the same time that the master program is being updated.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be taken to the City Council. That staff recommendation will be taken to the City Council on July 17th as well. And I understand Janice will be the planner working on, or is at this point the planner to be working on that neighborhood plan.
Mm-hmm. And just to reprise, the Houghton neighborhood, there aren't any private amendment requests in Houghton this time, right?
That's correct. Okay. There were some small items that came up, but they didn't ever materialize into full-blown private amendment requests. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So now, zoning code amendments.
I'm Janice Soloff with the Kirkland Planning Department, and the purpose of tonight's meeting is to discuss the issues previously raised with the zoning code amendments and also approve, disapprove, or take no action on the City Council decision on the adopting the proposed, zoning, miscellaneous zoning code amendments in Ordinance 4097. So in your packet, in the memo, there are a list of several of the issues that were brought up by you at the courtesy hearing and how those were resolved, and also two resolutions, one for approving the ordinance and one disapproving the ordinance. So depending on your decision. So just wanted to address some of the issues that you raised at your courtesy hearing. Okay. And one of the questions you had previously were, are there any proposed code amendments affecting single-family uses? And there are none. Most of these code amendments would affect the commercial areas in Houghton, so the Houghton Shopping Center and whatnot. Yes. We're waiting for the screen to warm up, right, Gloria?
It should be warming up, yeah.
So it has its own mind.
Getting on.
Oh, it's a pretty color blue.
So I'll continue talking. One of the key issues that I think you brought up at the courtesy hearing was previously what was proposed was to add in the design regulations. In the design regulations, low-growing hedges or walls are allowed as a parking lot buffer surrounding parking areas. And staff was recommending that that apply citywide. And you brought up a good issues or good concerns that people might run into that. It's to the walls. It takes away the greenery that a landscape buffer would provide. And so the Planning Commission heard you and agreed also with you on that issue citywide. So in design districts, that option for a parking lot buffer will still be permitted, but in citywide, it won't. So we haven't made any changes to the 5-foot wide parking lot buffer. Okay.
Thank you.
And the amount of we can just follow through the memo here. There was a question about the amount of internal parking lot landscaping, and I tried to quantify that a little bit more for you. It's slightly higher than what's permitted now, okay? And so there was no change to that. In other words, there was no change to what was previously recommended. Okay, no change to the text. So there is the way that the new regulations, the ordinance as adopted, it just basically previously there was one landscape island for every 8 stalls was required, and it's pretty cut and dry. Every 8 stalls, landscape island. With the, as adopted, the ordinance, it says that that for your whole parking lot landscaping, it's 25 square feet of landscape area, and then you can disperse it throughout the parking area, but it does say that there needs to be landscape islands and peninsulas separating, you know, different banks of parking stalls, but it gives some more flexibility to that. And there was another question about should there be a minimum width for landscape island peninsulas. We inserted the word similar, in other words, to give some more flexibility, so that's a change. And irrigation is a requirement in Chapter 95. That was another one of your questions. And also, there was the community council suggested, well, you know, are we going to have low-impact development standards for parking areas? And that's something that the city is looking at doing, and when those proposed code amendments and those new policies are adopted, we'll you'll certainly be involved in those, so that would be a good thing. Let's see. The other change since the courtesy hearing, I believe, is the number of bicycle racks. It was recommended that there be a minimum number of bicycle parking places per development. So we did some more research with other cities and the code as, or the ordinance as adopted, sets forth that the ratio should be one bicycle space per each 12 required vehicle parking stalls. So now, how the number of racks, bike racks, will, you know, some bike racks hold two bikes, some four, you know, so that'll all be worked out. Also, drive-through standards. The question was, what's the standard for the throat length of the length for driving drive-through facilities? And there's no set standard. It's based on a case-by-case basis. So, anyway, there really, weren't that many changes since you saw this previously. Probably the I'm thinking that the parking lot buffer was your main concern, and that was addressed. So hopefully you've had a chance to look at these code amendments as adopted by the City Council in the ordinance, and recommend approval. But I don't know if you want to do some discussion now and before you make your decision.
Any questions?
I'd like to ask a question which encompasses all of this but won't have anything really to do with tonight. Let's say the Houghton Shopping Center gets redesigned, and if it goes into design mode, is it going to be subject to what's in here for design for Totem Lake and all the rest of the places?
No. Currently, design review is not required in Houghton.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Thank you.
So now, as part of the neighborhood plan, when you look at the Houghton neighborhood plan, you might want to reevaluate that and say that maybe design review would be required in that area. But that's totally as part of the neighborhood plan that you would consider that sort of thing with that. As long as, you know, as far, and in addition to the land uses and height and that sort of thing.
Is that what North Rose Hill did? They made that decision when they did their neighborhood plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Any other questions?
I have a question, Janice, on the you define them as low impact standards, and they would be looked at, woven into as necessary. Those are my words. As I read through this, I still saw an awful lot of language that is the standard language, doesn't refer in any way, shape, or form to anything to allow to get woven into, wiggled into, or negotiated any sort of low-impact standard at all. It's all traditional thinking.
Right.
What would a developer have to do under these new code rules to bring in some sort of new thinking standard? Because right now, as it works, you can't.
Well,
and so I'm thinking, really, if we don't give some incentive to use it,
yes,
it's not going to happen.
Right. Well, I don't know if our modification criteria might allow some flexibility in the design of parking lots, things like that. I'd have to look at our Chapter 105, but currently we don't have anything in place for that. I don't know if you have any suggestions, Nancy.
Well,
as far as stormwater,
I think that's a later project.
Right.
You know, drafting some regulations that reflect LID principles is a later project that has not been, I guess it's on the work program.
It is, yeah, I mean, we're actively...
It is on the work list? that we got?
I believe so.
We are actively doing research and participating with other cities and training and finding out what other cities are doing. In fact, didn't we just do a green building and open house with some other cities?
There's a developers forum on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Regarding that. But to actually incorporate that into the codes is a separate project. It wasn't ever to be part of this project.
Right.
So unfortunately, there may be a bit of a delay.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that process goes through,
this
then needs to get
redone.
Yes,
so
it will.
So it's the next reworking of this that...
Yes.
And a lot of other sections, too. Because to actually incorporate that into the code, I imagine, will be a big project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's certainly my thinking, but in the interim, I mean, there is no wiggle room for anybody to do. It's absolute black and white, and as you know, it's very difficult to try and do something that's leading edge stuff because this won't allow you.
Well, the public works standards or the stormwater standards or other guidelines that the city has may allow for some of that at this time. I mean, isn't that the case?
Well, May is very gray.
Mm.
And from my standpoint, I think we need to be promoting this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that's all. Asked, answered. Thank
good,
you, Dennis.
Good comment. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions? Would anyone care to make a motion for approval or disapproval?
Well, I would move that we adopt Resolution 2007-2.
I second it.
Okay. The move and second. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry the PowerPoint presentation didn't work. You know, it was very short anyway, so... We'll have to figure out why that is, right, Gloria?
Now it was a verbal PowerPoint presentation.
That worked just fine.
Okay, Nancy, you're up.
Okay. Well, my information on, I guess, my research on the two projects and their floor area ratio is self-explanatory, I think, in the packet. I did bring the plans, if you wish to look at them.
Oh.
But I'm not sure what else you'd like me to say. Both homes exceeded the floor area ratio, if you had those regulations,
mm-hmm.
by the amounts I mentioned, 12% and 17%, if I did my math correctly. And so the little chart prepared by John Regala explains how that's calculated to a certain extent. I mean, you really have to get into the details, which he did, to actually calculate this.
And I know this wasn't what we asked you to do, and I think we asked this a long time ago, but just in case you have this information, both of them are only covering 50% of their lot.
Oh, I did check that, and the first home is at 41%.
Okay.
So 9% below the max. And in terms of its height, it's 0.82 of a foot below the maximum height.
0.82 below?
Yes.
Okay.
And the second home, the lot coverage is 47.3 below the max, or so 2.7% below the max of 50%. And the height is at the limit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
yeah. So that's 25 feet?
25 feet above average building elevation.
Existing.
Average building elevation.
So that second house is essentially almost exactly what you get without if you go to the maximum. I mean, it's just lot coverage. It could cover a tiny bit more of a lot. But that's pretty much what we're allowing in Houghton is that house under our current regulations.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Let's take full advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to add that by the numbers, that comment is correct. The mathematical numbers of the equation don't directly relate to the artistic expression of the design value. Those are two different things.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to make a comment too. Being as it's right across the street from me, looks to me like they're going to cover every square inch of the place with concrete blocks and bricks. What's left of the dirt that's around there.
Now, can they do that? They only get to cover 50% with impervious surface.
Correct.
So unless they have, like, spaces between those.
The pavers are less than 50%. Or pavers can be included if there's space between.
Okay,
but they still are not. They're at 50% of the total area of the paver area. I'm not
so
describing this very well.
If you have 100 square feet of sunset pavers, they are worth 50% of the 100 square feet in terms of your impervious surface calculation.
But you still have to add that, even that 50%,
that
reduced amount into...
Exactly.
So
into your finished product, right?
Yes. So it's hard to imagine sometimes where the 50% comes from. When homes are right at the edge, it never looks like there's any room left.
I know.
That's right.
Has everybody gone by there and looked?
Yeah. And I'll have to admit, the first one didn't appear that...
Yeah, it doesn't appear
that large to me. Now, maybe it was, again, designed because it had different angles and the facades, and there was a lot of going on with it. Where the other one just has that huge wall. It's pretty enormous. So, right now we don't have floor area ratio in Houghton. Is this something that... at one point we would have an opportunity to look at that again then? Is that...
Oh, I'm sure.
Would we?
I'd like to ask Bill a question. Bill, didn't you and Dan go looking at houses in Kirkland? And didn't you? Both of you go look at the houses to see what was in comparison?
It was Hugh.
Hugh and Dan?
Yeah.
And they found that they didn't see that big difference between the houses and...
That was what he reported, yeah.
Well, I think if you look at the house across the street from you, it looks like at 845 square feet over the FAR, I mean, that's a lot. My house is like 1,700 square feet, so that's like half of my house.
My house is 1,200, 800 on the bottom floor, and his extra is more than my whole bottom floor.
Yeah, so I think looking at this, that tells me that having a floor area ratio could make a difference, even, you know, regardless of what Dan and Hugh noticed. In this case, I think it could have...
Now, why are you saying that, if I could ask? Why are you saying that? Why are you making the comment?
Because taking off the amount of her house from that house seems to me like visually that would have... impacted what we are seeing.
Okay.
Just the bottom floor, not the top.
The whole bottom floor of Elsie's house being removed from that house.
My house is the one right across the street.
Mm-hmm. From my perspective, it's the modulation that's the most important factor, not the actual size. It's the brutal mass of a structure. A shoebox is going to look bigger than the same area that a shoebox would take if it was articulated in such a way. And I think one of the things that is very nice about the city of Houghton is that the FAR regulation isn't as demanding as it is in the rest of Kirkland. And because of the demand of the FAR in other parts of Kirkland, you end up with very goofy configurations of houses to get sizes to work to meet what people are wanting. And in Houghton, you don't see quite as much of that goofy stuff going on because the sizes of the houses can be a little bit bigger than in the balance of Kirkland. If you drive through up here on the hill, you see the driveways are really dug down into the ground off of the street. They don't make a very nice streetscape. In Houghton, you don't see very much of that.
Well, you saw that. You see that on Elsie Street?
Yeah, not as much. She's got a goofy area, but not as much as in the rest. Because people, if we limit the square footage of the houses, what square footage in the house becomes really critical. And what's more important to a new prospective buyer buying a new home today, a square footage in your kitchen or the square footage in your garage? Pretty soon the garages will get so small that they'll try and get them underground to meet the exception as demonstrated on your pallet, on your plate here, excuse me. And so we'll be driving the garages down into the basement again and having steeper driveways. And I think from a design criteria, that's a worse situation in a neighborhood than it is to have bigger boxy houses. I mean, from my standpoint as an architect, it seems to me that if we want to change standards instead of just changing our standards back to the limiting to the same FAR as the rest of the city, it would be better to make a presentation or suggest to the Planning Commission to look at the overall way that they look at the mass and bulk of a structure, like they'd mentioned in a meeting maybe 5 or 6 months ago, and rethink the way that the massing is looked at as opposed to just the square footage. If you go down along the waterfront, down on Fifth Avenue and down at the extension of Lake Street as it goes down the hill past the boat ramp, those particular lots have some setback requirements for the second floor. They don't call it this in the city council in the zoning code, but we in the design community call it sun setback angles on the north side of the house. As the house goes up, they step back in to allow sun to get into people's yards down along the water. That change in massing, you now no longer have a two-story wall. The wall has to step. It doesn't really affect, it sort of affects the square footage, but it doesn't affect it by saying we have to reduce the square footage. Mm-hmm. It affects by saying we have to have massing modulations to make our environment more aesthetically pleasing, as opposed to we just have to make the houses smaller because we have to make them smaller.
And you know, we had I think not wanted to do that just because we didn't, you know, we were saying, well, we really didn't want to tell somebody what their house had to look like. You know, if somebody wants the, you know, I agree with you, and I think that's why that first house we looked at does look better, because it does have modulation, it does have different shapes going on and things, whereas the other one is a box. We've tried not to tell architects how to design their houses, but I agree with you that, yeah, I think it's aggressive to build a big shoebox in front of your neighbor and block out his sun and block out his view completely.
Adding on to that as well, also, we do have some clients that it's their dream to live in the stucco box with a flat roof.
Right.
I mean, that's their dream.
I know.
It's my neighbor's
dream. And it's important to realize is that we come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, and we want all different variety of housing stock, from the cute little bungalows to the big stucco box. Mm-hmm. And each one's for a specific purpose, and I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully.
Well, that's, again, like I was saying, that's why we haven't tried to regulate the stucco box, because we realize that that is somebody's dream house. But at some point you say, well, somebody else had a dream house too that all of a sudden got impacted by the stucco box. And where do we negotiate in a civilized way so that, you know, you're not...
Are you aware of any cities or communities that have struck a balance that address your what you're just suggesting in the way that they regulate this?
Clyde Hill does a very, very good job at it, the way their code is written. Very good job.
Yeah?
What's their code? I think we've looked at that, haven't we? I think we've looked at that.
I don't.
For what? For this?
For something that we were looking at.
Yeah. Flight Hill also's got a really good tree policy in my mind, too.
That's what we looked at, their tree policy. Yeah,
they keep the canopy and they keep the views.
Mm-hmm. What does Clyde Hill do, do you know?
From which standpoint?
With regard to the FAR.
With regard to the
houses. They have a coverage. They have a permeable coverage. They actually, they call it structural and, let's see, structural and non-structural coverage, I think is what they call it. Then they have side step backs that go up a certain distance from the existing grade, and everything is on existing, which is a good idea. The way we do that is a good idea. And then you have to follow, it's actually 12 feet up from the existing grade at the edge of the proposed house or the setback. Actually, excuse me, it's at the setback line. You go up 12 feet and at a 30-degree angle in. So that really keeps the houses, when you look at them, they don't look cube-like from the front elevation. Step in.
So if somebody wants a cube, they got to shrink it to
right.
fit within
wedding
that.
Cake.
Yeah.
Right, wedding cake. It's got to be a wedding cake if they want the stucco box.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can't be two stories of stucco box.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wedding cake.
That sounds...
Sounds promising.
Sounds promising. Let's look at that.
Nancy, are you aware of whether that was considered in the FARs for the city, what Clyde Hill's done?
Well, it's beyond FARs, isn't it? It's more like design standards?
Well, it's... It's the same as the setbacks. It falls right into the setbacks because it is a setback. You're this setback up so high, then you're this setback up so high, then you're this setback. So it's not really a design standard. It all fits within the setback regulation.
And then you can design anything you want.
Exactly.
And that's right. Yeah.
I do know at the Planning Commission meeting, they did discuss that, but it was so far out of bounds of what the focus of the meeting was in terms of voting yes or no on those four criteria that they voted on last year, December, November, whenever that meeting was.
Mm-hmm.
It was so far out of bounds, they said, well, we have to vote on these four criteria, and later we should relook at how we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, as a design professional, it's... I think we're feeding the elephant through the wrong end.
Yeah,
because ours are so, you know, it seems like it's really, okay, and if you can stand up in this part and you measure it from here and, you know, and then you swing a black.
I will tell you, architects are immediately going to come up with 1/8 of an inch design variation and do a workaround. And that's what they're paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
Read the code, give me the most I can following the code. That's what they're paid to do.
Yeah.
So that's what they'll do.
Well, we can't really initiate any action. We can only react.
Recommend.
Recommend.
Recommend the Planning Commission.
Yep.
That's what we can do.
And so I guess we could even take a vote and make a recommendation that
they look at that and that when this, I don't know when this is coming up again, a year or two maybe?
I don't believe the relook at floor area ratio is on the work program that the council's seeing on July 17th.
So they're looking at this one.
Well,
it's
this
done.
Is the place. We initiated this just as a request to see how these two houses would
work. They just completed a big floor area ratio project. And then there was discussion about opening it further in the future to perhaps look at some other techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that project may be listed on the work program, but I don't believe there are dates associated with it because it just wasn't the top priority given all the other projects.
Well,
but we certainly can double check where it is on the work program.
Nancy, didn't this just come to us in November or so and we voted to leave it the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just thought.
Yeah.
Well, to the extent that I know the city has a strong preference to try to keep Houghton's regulations consistent with the rest of the cities, and so to the extent that that's any motivation for them to maybe give this a priority to at least look into the Clyde Hill regulations, you know, I think we could say that this is something that does interest us and we might be more favorably inclined to regulating the houses that way rather than what we've been doing so far. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I'd like to look at the Clyde Hill.
I think my concern is if the FAR is still allowing those massive houses that intrude on neighbors' property. And I agree that people should be able to live in the kind of house they want to live in. But when it starts impacting their neighbors to the point of shading out, like you noted, John, about the, you know, if it's blocking the sun, and we're looking at trying to green up the city at the same time as we're allowing people to block out access to sunlight from their neighbors, that becomes a point at which we have to look at what we do to keep that from happening. And if the FAR isn't the way to do it, then maybe we need to look at some other ways.
Well, also on that, if somebody has a piece of property right now, the city has defined essentially an envelope, side setbacks and height that you can build to. And the way that those are defined is walls go up to 25 feet of an average grade of whatever you build inside of that, and then it's flat, so they go right to the corners. So if your piece of property is the size of a piece of paper and you decide to build a 10-foot wide house all the way up to the 25 height limit, you're impacting one neighbor on that side, but on the other side, if you have a 50-foot side yard setback over there, you're not impacting that other one. It's through the design of how you utilize that building envelope that is controlled by zoning that determines on who you impact. Mm-hmm. So I think it's that design of the envelope, if we want to look at how everybody's around, that is the most important element.
Right. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But thank you for saying it more specifically.
So do we want to actually make any kind of recommendation or just let Nancy know informally that there's a sentiment?
I would suggest, Rick, that if we want the Planning Commission to do it, we should put it in the form of a motion.
Okay.
And I will do that.
Okay.
I would like to move that the Houghton Community Council suggest to the Planning Commission that they review how the setbacks in the city of Kirkland are defined to try and better control describe the original intent of the floor area ratio requirements and not which would allow us to change the existing floor area requirements so they are simpler and would allow for a better aesthetic environment.
Wow, that's good.
I add an amendment.
And you may want to mention the Clyde Hill thing because that language was good, but I think it was vague enough that they won't understand what you're talking about with the modulation of these.
Continuing on with the motion, if we could retract your second for a moment.
Retract it.
Continuing with the motion, as an example, reviewing Clyde Hill's code, which shows a wedding-caked setback as you go high approach, period.
Second.
Okay. And moved in second. Any discussion? Okay, all
that's
in favor
idea.
Of this motion, it's going to signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
And I just noticed in this magazine that we just got today with our packet, the very last article is about McMansions and the geography of zoning, so we may want to read that as well. But it sounds like John's White Hill approach is better than anything they've got in this article. I just skimmed it. So.
Yeah.
So, Rick, I guess at your next meeting in July, Paul will be here. I won't be here at your July meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And the work program, at that point you'll see where this project is on the work program.
Okay. Nancy, do you have any sense of what all we have coming up in the July meeting?
The Shoreline Master Program study session.
Okay. Did you have any other administrative items that you wanted to discuss?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Shoreline Hearing Board, on June 21st, we received the notice of their decision regarding Yarrow Bay Yacht and Marina, Marina Suites versus Breakwater Condominiums and the City of Kirkland. So the project that you reviewed is a process to be project last year,
mm-hmm.
and the Breakwater Condominium Association appealed that to the Shoreline Hearing Board, and there were about 10 different items that the Shoreline Hearing Board reviewed in quite a bit of detail, and the response from the board is that the permit for the Marina Suites project, as approved by the city, was affirmed on all of those points.
Good.
So I believe that the community council's recommendation was in agreement, and so all of the points were affirmed in detail. A lot of detail by the hearing board.
Well, that's good.
Do you have to read all that detail?
So are they going to further appeal it, or is this the end of it?
Well,
they could go to court, couldn't they?
It could go to court. I don't know.
Okay.
But that would be up to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's got to feel good that they affirmed it.
I wasn't involved in that, but Robin Jenkinson and Stacy Clausen worked on that.
Yeah.
Also, there was a press release about the annexation listening tour that is occurring with the city. That was in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a press release that I did not put in your packet about the West Nile virus response plan, and that may be in the newspaper soon. One of the reasons I brought this up is just to let you know the city of Kirkland now has a new communications manager who does press releases and helps us to be more proactive with the media and get information out to the public. So it's a very, very good thing. And at any rate, the West Nile virus response plan is just to encourage citizens to be cautious and to remove standing water around their home and get screens and wear long sleeves, because it's it could be a real issue either this year or next year, evidently.
Hmm. Nancy, what's the official paper now?
The I believe it's the Times.
It is Times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is now a weekly Kirkland, well, it used to be the Kirkland Courier, but that's not the official paper, I don't think.
Any other administrative items?
That is it.
I have a question for you. At our training session, there was a discussion of the member liability, and Kathy Anderson said she's going to get something out to us on that. Do you know? I don't think any of us have seen anything, have we?
I haven't even seen Kathy since that meeting, so I'll ask her.
Would you please follow up? Because I think it is something that we all have an interest in.
Okay.
Okay. And also, I was talking with Bill before the meeting, and as it turns out, both Bill and I have vacation plans in July that will make us unavailable for the meeting. And with us both being gone, then I guess maybe we should make plans for who will chair the meeting in our absence, since the chair and vice chair will both be missing. So
should we double check that we'll have four members?
Well, yeah. Is anybody else not planning to be available for that meeting in July?
I may not be. Donnie has major surgery that week. Depends on how he's doing.
Okay.
That's July
23rd.
Thank you.
Clarification, I won't be on vacation, I'll be on official military duty.
Yeah, in Hawaii. That counts as vacation to me.
You'll get to pick. Me to the service.
It's tough duty, somebody's got to do it.
What date is the meeting supposed to be on in July? Do you know?
23rd. If we could hold it on the 16th, I could attend.
I could too.
Yeah, I could too.
I won't be available then.
Would you be here, Bill?
I would be able to go, for sure be able to.
You would for sure?
Because mm-hmm. Donnie goes to surgery the 24th, and he's got to be in there at 6 in the morning, and the night before it's going to be a real hectic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is there anybody else who can't make the 23rd? Cannot?
I think I'm okay.
Is there anybody else that cannot make the 16th other than Laura?
Well, as it turns out, apparently I'm going to be out of town on the 23rd as well.
Woo. Laura, I think... It was a quote. I hate to do this to you.
Hey,
but I think at this point, maybe we'd better try to make the meeting on the 16th.
Okay, we'll have to check that the staff that needs to be here can be here. I also will not be here on the 16th, but that doesn't really matter.
Okay.
It's not my item. So, but I'll double check that Patrice and Paul can be here on the 16th.
However,
we're talking four people that probably four people cannot make it on the 23rd.
Yeah. What about the 30th?
I'll be gone.
You'll be gone then, too.
I'll be gone still.
So the 16th is the best.
Yeah.
And then I also have to check that the council chamber is available. But we'll do that checking and be in touch with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is it possible we could move the shoreline thing to August?
I don't know.
Look at both alternatives, either having it on the 16th or if the 16th is not a possibility, making it in August.
Maybe we have a special meeting in August or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We'll let you know.
Thank you, Nancy. Any other items for the good of the order? And meeting's adjourned.
We didn't make a motion.
You don't have to. I can adjourn it without a motion.